Welcome to this week's episode of the podcast powered by Two Bulls, the leading company in performance supplement and mineral. Don't get left behind. Make sure you're feeding the Two Bulls supplements to optimize your bull's performance each and every trip. There's too much money on the line every single weekend. Make sure you're on it. Two Bulls Black Label Supplement. TwoBulls.net is where you can order yours now. I'm your host, Kyle Lippincott. This is the April 2nd recording of the podcast, our weekly dive into the statistics, the data, the results, everything that happened in the last week. Let's get into it. As usual, the upcoming events, make sure you visit and download the BSN Plus app in the App Store to view all kinds of upcoming competition and bull team events. The app is pretty handy. We'll send you notifications of the book's open and closing dates, along with entry fees, classes offered, and a matter of fact, you can even enter, directly from the app within these event profiles on the app. So it's pretty neat. If you guys don't have it, you can get it now in the App Store. Something that's new to the BSN Plus app that is free, doesn't cost any money, doesn't cost a subscription. Anybody can see this. We have added event results from ABBI and sanctioned events along with the ABBI world standings, and it's all segregated by class. So you can click on it. It'll show you everything. You can click on the event results. It'll show you the event results from that exact event. We continue to be excited to offer all Bucking Bull content in one location, accessible at your fingertips 24/7. If you want to look it up at 3 a.m., hop on the app. You can look at the news. You can look at event results, the world standings. And then, of course, the event schedule, sires by earnings, the whole nine yards, guys. It's really fun. Putting it all together and putting that out there for you guys. But I really think once everyone gets in the routine of using the app, I think it will be super beneficial for everybody in the bucking bull industry. So before we get too deep into all this, I kind of got a funny story, I guess. I don't know how funny it really is or was at the time. But over the weekend, I stayed home. I didn't go to any competition events. I had the Buck Day and barbecue for my yearling academy here at the ranch. And it's kind of fun. Everyone sends those bulls and as February 1st, and I buck them. I run them through the chutes. They learn to handle. They learn to sort. They learn chute procedure. They get bucked, and then 60 days later, which would have been Saturday, all the owners come to the ranch. We buck those bulls. We have a cookout. We made ribs and baked beans and all kinds of different goodies. And then we buck those bulls. We give a top bull buckle away. It's not a judge deal. It's just what bull I think was the most improved or the bull that had the best trip, and they don't even wear the dummy for 4 seconds. It's still a training out, I guess you could say. And so anyways, that was this weekend, and it started as a complete cluster. Other than the fact of everyone eating, of course, we did that first. But I had a lot of stuff to get done that day, and I had all the right-hand deliveries, left-hand deliveries sorted and in my back pins, and everyone shows up, and really there's probably, 25-ish people between the owners and their family and a few friends, local friends that had came, wanted to check it out. So we did all that, and like I said, I have my lefts and my right sorted. We're going to buck the lefts first, and I'm kind of weird about loading bulls into my lead-ups, and I didn't want to load all four. I kind of, my personal preference is a max of three, so I was going to load two, buck those two, load another two, buck them, and then swap to the right. So I let those four bulls out of the pen down the alleyway, and Shannon Brito is backed up to one of my loadouts. And basically, from where the bulls were in my back pins, there's an alleyway and a gate, and then another alleyway, and they can go left down the alleyway to a gate or turn and go on the trailer. Well, Shannon was backed up, and we weren't anywhere near ready to load. He backed up before we started, so we weren't tied off or anything. And then he's backed into, I call it the barn trap. So there's two double gates of a barn trap, and he backs through there. Well, anyways, those were open also because he was obviously backed in there. And I sort them two bulls out, and I shut the gate, turn around, and there's two bulls that they somehow pop that into the alley gate to, you know, where my back pins are open somehow. And down out through the alleyway, past Shannon Brito's truck, down out the barn trap, headed down the driveway. And like, I got a decent size, decently long driveway, and I'd seen it. Luckily, there's bulls on both sides of the driveway, and they kind of checked up, and I got on my four-wheeler and cut through another trap and got around them without obviously chasing them, and got the double gates at the end of my driveway shut, and at least got them. At that point, they couldn't get out. I mean, they were within my property, and they weren't going to get on the road, but now there's 25 people trying to help get these two bulls back in, and it was great to have all the help, but sometimes it's like everyone's trying to help, but nobody really knows what's going on, so everyone's kind of in each other's way, and I felt like that's what we were doing. And long story short, we got the bulls back and got them bucked, and it just, like, that was before we ever even bucked a single bull, and I thought, holy smokes, this is going to be a day. Keep in mind, like, I don't know, in the last 30 days, I mean, I may have put 500 trips in my arena and never had a dummy issue. Shout out to Bucking Bull Pro. Never had any of this. Nothing. Until everyone's here for the buck day, you know, and that happens. And anyway, so we get to bucking and buck two or three bulls, and then my ratchet. I got a click ratchet on my girth. It breaks. The spring, everything comes out of it. It won't. So now when you try to pull it doesn't stay tight, just kind of rolls back and forth. So with the bull and the buck and shoot, had to take the dummy off. Luckily, I had a spare ratchet, but I had to go inside, come back out to the arena, get my tools, take it off. I just thought, holy smokes, we're not ever going to get through it. Luckily, had a spare ratchet. Like as we're getting through here, thinking, man, what else is going to happen? And finally, after we got the spare ratchet put on the dummy, everything was fine. We finished the buck day, and Shannon Brito and his bull, one of his yearlings, the TBR Bucking Bulls crew, got the top bull buckle of the day, and it ended fun. We everyone had a good time, hung out for a little while afterwards, and kind of joked about the cluster that happened at the very beginning. So I figured you guys would like to hear a little eventful happenings here at my place over the weekend. So there you go. Bucking Bull Pro, the only bucking dummy bucking stock news trust. They now have flanks of all styles in stock. What I mean by styles, the different oval rings, rectangular rings, leather burners. Order now while supplies last. If you're in need of custom-made ear tags for your competition bulls or your entire cow herd, Bucking Bull Pro now does that as well with great turnaround time. So if you guys need anything to do with a dummy, flanks, or now ear tags, check them out, Bucking Bull Pro. They can get you fixed up right into the Bucking Bull Pro scoreboard from the Claimable Bucking Series in Springtown, Texas. The Devereaux family always produce great events. This one, like I said, Springtown, Texas, March 30th. That was Saturday. The yearling fraternity was the top spot. Was I don't know if I've seen anything that good in a very long time. A heifer branded 3016 from Homestead Genetics, 92.5 points, and to be quite honest with you, we posted the video to our social media. It's also on our YouTube channel that you can see through the app under videos. All of these winning bulls we're fixing to talk about are posted under the videos tab on the app. Again, that's more free content that you guys can check out all at your fingertips. But this heifer was 92.5, and when I got the video, I thought, I don't know how much better it gets. I've seen them mark bulls 93, 94, 95. In my opinion, I wasn't there in person, but that don't warm up the water to this heifer. And that day in Springtown, she's sired by Billy Frank out of Baker 834, which is a Bubba daughter out of the great GLC 784 female. Raised by Gene Baker, handled by Gene Baker. Gene Baker, Homestead Genetics, all around in this heifer. I tell you what, Gene, whenever the heifers were first able to start competing against the bulls, the buttons really kind of put it on the map. Like, Gene proved that it was going to work. Like the heifers could hang or whatever. And then Gene went through a year or two there where he had really good yearlings, but it was like he just couldn't find the buttons yet, which that's not that easy. I'll say that too. Like finding one that's that elite doesn't come around very often until now. Gene's, this heifer was unreal. Congrats, Gene, on raising an animal of that caliber, and I hope that she can keep it together for the entire year. Second place, RSR 303, Rising Stars Ranch, Rebecca Tong, 88.80 points. Sired by Bubba, which was by Straight Jacket, and out of Floyd 628, a daughter of past Classic World Champion Black Pearl, raised by Casey and Diamond Thomason there in Northeast Oklahoma, and handled by Diamond Thomason. Round out the top three here in the Yearling Fraternity, AS 314, the All-Star Ranch in Laughlin, 88.10 points. Sired by 43, Fistful of Dollars by the Geetus. Fistful of Dollars also the sire to current short rounder, Top Dollar. And out of All-Star 714 Cal, a Ricochet daughter that's out of a Rock and Roll female. Raised by Ted Keeling in the care of Braxton Laughlin of Louisiana. Rolling right along here to the Junior Fraternity. 217 Ballistic Rising Stars Ranch Rafter 4T, the Thomasons again, 89.90 points. This one sired by 31 Bullrito, which was by Shepherd Hills Tested and out of the dam to 256 Hunt You Down, out of Mayhem 520, a Hair Trigger by Straight Jacket female, raised by Tyler Egan and handled by Arena Thomason. I'm going to stop right there for a second. Couple things here as we go through the Yearling Fraternity on into the Junior Fraternity Champion. I believe this is this bull's second Junior Fraternity Championship or event champion, event title, excuse me, I'm stuttering my words there, event title this season for the Ballistic of Arena Thomason's. But we look here, the Yearlings, the winner out of a Bubba daughter. Second place, a Bubba daughter. Roll right along here to the winning junior calf out of a Hair Trigger daughter, which was by Straight Jacket. Guys are kind of starting to see a few things here. A lot of the stars aligning on the Straight Jacket genetics in the fraternity system. It's nothing new. A lot of people know that Straight Jacket works, but I just find that very interesting that there it is in first, second, first in two different classes. And Bullrito out of the dam to two-time sire of the year, 256 Hunt You Down. So when Dr. Warren Dozier bought that cow, Hunt You Down was on her side and she was bred tested. That's Bullrito. 31 Bullrito has obviously making a name for himself as a sire as well. Second place in the Junior Fraternity 203 Side Hustle, Rising Stars Ranch and Rebecca Tong. I'm telling you what, Rising Stars Ranch showed up and took all the money from Springtown so far, it looks like. 89.5 points, sired by D18, a tested son out of T8, the Damned Bruiser. Out of RSR 711, a W36 Hustle Up daughter, raised by Casey Thomason and again flanked by Arena Thomason to win first and second in the Junior Fraternity. Good job, Arena. That is impressive stuff. And I hate to say it, but I know Casey was extremely excited about D18. Like I said, he sired by tested out of the dam to Bruiser and he bucked. Like that bull was really, really good. He bought that bull and I think got to breed to him for 1 year and then he died on a freak deal. So anyway, that D18 and 203 Side Hustle will be able to carry out those genetics. 241 Rockstar to round out the top three in the Junior Fraternity, McCoy Richardson and Gene Baker, 87.80. Another calf sired by the Billy Frank by Bruiser and out of Baker 694 and El Presidente daughter. El Presidente was a Moody Blues son way back. He was a great classic bull. El Presidente, yeah, absolutely. Billy Frank over an El Presidente daughter for 241 Rockstar, raised by Gene Baker and flanked and handled by McCoy Richardson. McCoy, always a stout competitor in the Junior Fraternity competitions year after year. Rolling into the Cowgirl Fraternity, 916K Arnold, aka Curly, JMK Cattle Company and BS Cattle Company, 88.90 points. Sired by 422 Crank It by Watersport, and out of 916 Peggy, a daughter of 611 It's Showtime. Raised by Jeff Morrison and Kenzie Stewart back in the winner's circle. A handful of years ago, Kenzie was extremely competitive. Kind of took a break there and tilting and the mom life, and looking like she's kind of getting back into the competition thing. Second place, there was only two money holes in the Cowgirl Fraternity at the Claim a Bull. JMC, 211, Flip 'em Off, Bucking Bulls, and Rowdy Morgan, 88.10 points. Sired by 979, Stoked on Gravy, which was by Dances with Gravy, the sire to Woopaw. And out of JMC, 700 by Superior, Ought 63. Raised by Jim McClain and flanked by Shelby Baker. So that was the top two in the Cowgirl Fraternity. On to the Open Fraternity, a little light on the entry fees in Springtown there. There was only two paying positions in this class, and he finally did it. 45K Dream Wreck S4 and Circle S, 89.70 points. Page 13H, the sire by Lollipop, and out of a 555C Stoner daughter, raised by Sean Murray and hauled by Colby Simmons. And I got to point it out, there's a lot of us that are a big, big time fan of this bull. Like, even when we've seen him at the qualifier events, like, he is so close to being whatever you want to mark him. And he did pick up the win. And I think Colby would tell you this too, if he was the one talking about it. Like, congratulations, they picked up the win. But I still don't think that bull is we've seen the full, complete, flawless trip from that bull. And that might be a thing. Like, that bull tries to do so much, so intense. He tries to check all the boxes and some. And maybe that's why he always kind of misses a foot or kind of gets tangled up just a hair. But impressive to be the fraternity champion of the High Roller Fraternity and still probably not have your best day. So when that bull does fully put it together, everybody better look out. 29.51, Coach Prime, 6M Ranch and Riley Sanford coming in second place, 89.40 points. Raised by Todd McClure, hauled by Riley Sanford. We're still pending the DNA on the reg site there for Coach Prime. So, Todd, if you're listening, shoot me a message. Let me know what that bull is, and we will I'll get it updated. The Derby, 12X Smooth Whiskey, Alan McCloy, M. Raftery, 89.80 points. 44A Smooth Over by Midnight Mood, the sire Smooth Over. For those of you guys that don't know, I'll try to find a video and post it, but Smooth Over was scary rank with a guy over 100,000 in competition earnings. Great, great bull. Damn is Rockin' Tees 2X by Crazy Train out of the great MS Bar 2 female, which she's also the dam to 2X, is also the dam to 22X, a junior calf that BJ's kiddos are hauling this year that's been doing really, really good for the kids. I think he wanna check in Amarillo. And Rockin' Tee 2X, the mother to Smooth Whiskey, and 22X. Jeez, BJ, that gets confusing when you start talking about all the offspring here. We got 2X and 12X and 22X. And anyway, well, just giving you a hard time. Was created via the embryo program of the Rockin' Tee Ranch with Monty Sanford and the Bar 2 cow and the great Crazy Train. And sure looks like on the female side, it's definitely working. Second place, 109J, the Empire. 5G Farms, it's Russ Gant, BS Cattle Company, Lone Star, the Richards Brothers, and D&H Cattle Company, and Pace and Parker, 89 points. Sired by 397A, Frequent Flyer, by 33T, Double Oak, a past American Heritage Champion, and out of 809F, a Magic Maker daughter, raised by D&H Cattle Company, and handled by HD Page. And rounding out the top three in the Derby, 73J Power Stroke, Moore Buck, D&H Cattle Company, 88.30 points. Sired by the great 56Z Lifting Lives, which was a surefire son. And out of page 73C, a hard twisted daughter, another a past American Heritage champion that was back out of the dam to 13D Kitty Hawk. And again, a D&H Cattle Bull in the care of HD Page. Let's roll on into the classic, the claimable in Springtown. Ought 53, Tickle Time, Congeezer Cattle Company, and Graves, 90.20 points, sired by 643, Home Wrecker by Cotton, which was the sire to Asteroid, and out of CK 53 by X72, High as a Kite, raised by Congeezer Cattle Company there in Kansas, Cooper and Kylie Congeezer, and flanked by Cooper Congeezer there in Springtown. Great out for Tickle Time. Second place, the inaugural maiden champion, 761H Fast Flow, AFCO Outlaw, and Lone Star, 89.60 points, sired by the Big Spot Airtime, which was by Big Cat, a Jack Daniels Happy Hour son, and out of a Smooth Move daughter, raised by Tyler Johnston, and in the care of BS Cattle Company and Brandon Stewart. The Empire 109J, 5G Farms, BS Cattle, Lone Star, D&H, and Parker was double entered into the Classic. Going to round out the top three there in the Classic at Springtown. So congratulations to all of the money winners. We could talk. I could have a two-hour podcast if we went through all of the money winners in every class. So there's the top three. And congratulations to all of the money winners. It's not easy to get a check nowadays. So congratulations to all of you guys. Okay, so there was just basically that one event to cover this week in our Bucking Bull Pro Scoreboard. I want to get into a couple female topics here. And what I mean by females is some really good cows in our industry. Some things that just popped up and I thought were worth talking about. So GLC 784, we mentioned her at the very beginning of the podcast in the yearling fraternity, the maternal grand dam to the great 3016, I believe is her number. That one Springtown, 92.5 points, okay, that we all are in agreement that should have been 94.5 points. But anyways, she is sired by the great Hall of Fame Bucking Bull Bushwhacker, and out of 522 Queen of the South, which was a white sports coat over Party Girl, female created by Gidry there with white sports coat and the great Party Girl female of Cody Lostros. Her offspring have earnings of $57,960.78, which doesn't sound like all that special, but I want to read some of the stuff that her maternal line has done. I want to point some of this out, and I just think that it's interesting. She's the mother to 672 Mad Scientist that Gene Baker bred to, that had luck with 826R Milkshake, the sire to Johnny B. Good from Sonny Barthold, and the 6-bar C, and they have quite a few partners on that bull. I think he wins second at Brian, was like 92 and some change. That's out of a 784 son. 898 Simon, that bull win, I don't know, 18 or 20,000 in the fraternity deal, and he's a current PBR bull for Mike Daniels and K-bar C. 80KB Voodoo Warrior, the sire to Yearland World Champion Voodoo Woman. Baker 96, the sire to Baker 210. He's win, I think, 23,000 this year, just going to the $1 million qualifier events. Rank Frank, owned by Rising Stars Ranch and Jenkins Cattle Company, a current PBR bull. 84J Fat Lip is a bull actually that myself and 3B Cattle Company own that qualified to the World Finals last year. She's also the maternal grandmother to, we already talked about it, 3016, the win in Yearland and Springtown. You want to talk about a hell of a cow. Like, she's bred a little different than the so-called flavor, but she hits over and over and over with her sons, with her daughters. It doesn't seem to matter. If 784 is in the pedigree, you better find a way to add that to your program or to turn it out on cows or whatever. And I mentioned Fat Lip. I'm beyond excited to have a son of the 784 cow turned out on a set of my cows as we speak for 2025 calves. I'm really, really excited about that. So, I don't know. It's really cool. Like, sometimes these cows, they may not have the very best offspring earnings or the very best, you know, statistics with their sons. But when you start looking at what her offspring has produced, that kind of stuff really gets exciting. So we're going to stay on the realm of this female thing and what their offspring produce. And we're going to talk about the 10-120 daughters' earnings and what they have produced. I got to doing some research This was probably, I couldn't sleep. One day I got up at 3:30, 4, somewhere in there, and my brain was running, and I remember thinking about statistics and numbers and cows, and I don't know. It just was one of those nights, and I started looking up cows that I thought people would consider elite, and then I went to her daughters, and I looked at the competition offspring earnings from their daughters alone, not her offspring earnings or her son's offspring earnings, but her daughter's offspring earnings alone. Started adding all of this up and putting together what might arguably be one of the best females in the business, and I don't think it's too far off of most people's radar, but I've got some cool stats for you. So she, 10-120, is the mother to Classic World Champion Crosswired. With only 20 females registered, she might have to be the best maternal producing female, or the best cow. I don't know, however you want to word it. Call her the best cow in the business. Her daughters are dams to bulls like Hocus Pocus, Striker, Coltrane, Aratus, Tugco, LaGrande, and the list goes on and on and on and on. Her daughters alone have produced offspring earnings of $1,088,901. Her 20 different daughters have produced offspring earnings of that number, okay? Here's the part that makes this even more interesting to me. I have not found a cow yet that their daughters have outproduced the daughters of 10-120 in competition offspring earnings. And I know what you're probably thinking. How about the 255-152 cow? One of her daughters is the dam of the great bruiser. He's got 400 and some thousand earnings, but him alone. Her daughters do not surpass the daughters of 10-120. Now, I will say, she pushes up there at about 1,045,000 and some change after that. But here's something that's cool to think about. The 255 cow, she has, I believe, 63 registered daughters. And haven't earned as much offspring earnings as 10-120 with 20 daughters. So she's close. The 255 daughters are close, but they're still not better than 10-120. I looked up 20 cows that day, did the math, looked at their daughters, added it all up. And to be quite honest with you, there were some cows that I thought, man, they got to be close, and they didn't even break 300,000, much less 1.1 million almost. So I do want to say, if you guys think of a cow that her daughters can warm up the water to the daughters of Page 10-120, shoot me a message, text me, and I'll do some math, and we'll try to figure it out, because right now, that's impressive to me. That's a really, really impressive number for her daughter's offspring, and with only having 20 daughters versus 50, 60, 80 daughters, you know, to get to that number. So, I really think just off the top of my head, and the cows that I've looked up, I probably know some that people might mention. I've already looked them up. But I don't know one that can get close. Just yet. So with her daughters, that's not including their earnings also, just the daughter's earnings. So you guys think about it, rack your brain, send me a message. We'll try to find a cow that has better daughters than Page 10-120, and I'll wait. So PBR Unleash the Beast recap. Let's go through the bulls from Nampa, Idaho. UTZ Best Tex legend Blake Sharp and partners, 44.75 points. 19 Big Chili, Blake Sharp, 44.5 points. This bull has been on my radar for a few weeks now. I don't know anything about him, but I know he bucks. He is a bucker for sure. I had somebody message me. I believe he was on a podcast, Highmark Bull Recap deal, and someone sent me a message on the details. They didn't quite know the genetics, but he came from Heath Davis of High Steel Rodeo Productions in Ohio. Blake purchased this bull last year, probably took it slow, probably got him going at some lower level PBRs, and here he is now coming into the late in the season, coming into his own with a few weeks in a row, big time numbers. 19 Big Chili, you guys remember that name. and the veteran 35F Cool Whip going to round out the top three from Nampa with a 44-point bull score. So we're going to get into some stats from Nampa before we close out this episode of the podcast. I believe I find this stuff, it's not really out of the ordinary. I mean, it's common sense, really, when you think about it, with as hard as these guys have went since, I believe, December, back to back to back, from coast to coast, to border, back and forth. I mean, those bulls can only take it so much. But there was 115 total outs in Nampa, an average bull score of 41.03. The bulls are getting tired. Not by much. I mean, we're at a 41.03, so you take that as a 20 and a half, roughly, is the average bull score for, I believe, Albuquerque, Nampa. They're getting a little tired, it seems like. They've been on the trail every single week since before the first of the year, from New York to California to Houston. I mean, now they're going to go to Sioux Falls and Billings. You look at the stats, the average bull score has continued to drop week after week. So, and there's no shit talking. I'm just pointing it out there. There's no shit talking at all. It's common sense. When you go that much, that hard, that they're going to get tired. I mean, I don't care who it is. That's going to happen. So looking at the numbers, that's the numbers. It's going to be interesting. I think they have a week or two off between the last regular season event and the PBR World Finals in Fort Worth. So it'll really be interesting to see those bulls with a couple weeks off come to the PBR World Finals. So 31.3% of the guys made qualified rides in Nampa, which was up a couple tenths from Albuquerque. I think Albuquerque was 31.15 ride percentage. But here's a statistic that some data that I think speaks a little louder than the average bull score. Zero bulls marked 45 points or better, with only 4.3% of the bulls being marked a 44 plus bull score. 4%. Zero. 45 or better. 87% of the bulls were marked between 40 and 43 and 3/4 in Nampa, Idaho, out of a total of 115 outs. So they talk about it being hard on the guys. Back to back, you know, short rounds. They did away with the 15-15 bucking battle, and they just, it's hard on the guys. But when you look at these numbers at the top level, this, you know, like I said, we're at the home stretch of the season. It's hard on them bulls, too. We're talking miles and miles between events, coast to coast, back to back, without ever having a week off. You know, and some of them, I mean, most of the guys do a really good job managing those bulls and, you know, going back home and getting a different set of bulls and et cetera. But since November, December, they can only go back and get a different set of bulls so many times. So that's something to think about as we close out this episode of the podcast. I really hope you enjoyed it. I hope that you guys will find the information, data, and statistics useful, or at least entertaining. I enjoy putting all this stuff together for you guys. I'm kind of a nut about data and statistics and information when it comes to the buck and bull business, so I hope you guys are enjoying it. Make sure to follow us on Facebook and Instagram, and do yourself a favor. Download the BSM Plus app now. Until next time, thanks for listening.